Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, we're discussing on understanding the gospel, right? Understanding this gospel. We're looking at how the gospel is ministered in the scriptures. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15 into 17. It says, and from childhood. Let's be in 2 Timothy 3. Everybody. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scripture, Hebrews drama, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we saw that that Paul commended Timothy for his skillfulness in understanding Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we saw that the Bible interpretation he understood is that salvation, the Bible interpretation he understood is that the Bible interpretation is Christ in the scriptures. My salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is the content of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So, we saw that our role in studying the Old Testament is to read the epistles, because the epistles explains the Old Testament scriptures to us. So that means, if I get to the Old Testament, I must interpret the events and the words. The events, the words, in the light of the epistles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at something that we did not say in the first service. Ephesians chapter 3, quickly. I say first service in the first session. Okay. Verse 3. How that by revelation is made known to me the mystery as I've briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. For no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, the epistles, we said the epistles explain the Old Testament, right? Reveals the explanation of the Old Testament. And the explanation of the Old Testament from the words of Jesus is what? Himself, right? Now, for what we've read, the epistles reveals Christ. Reveals Christ to us in the Old Testament. So the epistles are the revelations of Christ. Do you understand that? So the epistles reveals Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we said Christ is the truth hidden amongst the facts. Right? Right? That's what we said earlier in the first time. The explanation of the Old Testament is truth, the truth. The mystery of the Old Testament is the truth hidden amongst facts. Right? So, and we say that explanation is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the events and the things in the Old Testament are explained now for this, for this, I explained in the four Gospels and in the Epistles. That is, you'll find Jesus talk about them, explaining them. Do you understand me? And in the Epistles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, quickly, also, John chapter 5, verse 45, verse 46. Very important. We need to lay these things as well. For if you have believed Moses, do you believe him? For he wrote of him. If you believe Moses, you believe him. He wrote of him. But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words? That means to say, listen, the words of Christ does not contradict the words of Moses. Because Moses spoke the words of Christ. Do you understand that? Because Moses spoke the words that, or Moses quoted Christ. Pastor Shepard corrected us. He said, you don't say Christ quoted Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses would use the words of Christ in his writings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you will not find contradictions between the words of Moses and the words of Christ. And since there is epistles that explain the Old Testament, you will not find contradictions between the, you will not find contradictions between the words of Moses or the words of the prophet and the epistles. Because if the epistles are explaining the Old Testament, then there cannot be contradictions. So if there is contradictions, it is you not reading well thoroughly. You know what I mean? Because if you read thoroughly, you discover there are no contradictions. Hallelujah. Did you get that? There are no contradictions. Did you get that? Very important you are laying these foundations as we go ahead. No, we're looking at this today, go tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So look at it critically. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. So we just said that the four Gospels and the Epistles explained the Old Testament, right? Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Old Testament will talk about Christ. Right? We'll talk about Christ. We'll find the Gospel in the Old Testament, in the words of the prophet, Romans chapter 1, verse 1 into 2. Hallelujah. He calls it the gospel of God concerning the Son. Do you understand that? Concerning the Son, he calls it the gospel of God. In Galatians chapter 3, quickly, let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. It says, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, so he preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you shall all the nations of the be blessed. He says, preach the gospel. So maybe the gospel was preached in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Verse 8. Galatians 3:8. So the gospel was preached in the Old Testament. Do you understand that? It was preached. So we said, if the gospel was preached in the Old Testament, it then means that salvation was available. Hallelujah. Salvation was available. That is to say, the message of salvation was available then. Do you understand that? The message of salvation was available. So we'll look at that. Why I said the message of salvation is available in this section. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus also will now send his disciples in Matthew 10 to go preach the gospel. Hallelujah. To go preach the gospel. We'll look at this in another series. What, since Jesus was with them, what gospel did they preach? Hallelujah. They were not rushing to that, taking it one after the other. Hallelujah. Amen. But they will preach the gospel. Hallelujah. They will. Very important, they will. Because it has, now, if that was the first time they heard him preach the gospel in the scriptures, then that means they would not know what to do, right? Hallelujah. John the Baptist preached the gospel. You know that? Hallelujah. He preached about Christ. For him to be a prophet, for him to be called a prophet, will mean he must do what? He must speak about Christ. Hallelujah. He must speak about Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, all true. I mean, Jesus will tell the disciples to preach the gospel. Now, at his resurrection, in Mark 16, verse 15, he gave them the same charge again. Gave us the same charge again. Hallelujah. Because we are disciples of Christ. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Every creature, rather. Hallelujah. Or creation. Hallelujah. So Jesus in Matthew 28, he will call it to every nation. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave the instruction for the gospel to be preached to everyone. To every creature, every nation, everyone. The word to preach is the word keruso. K-E-R-U-S-O. Keruso. Keruso. It's the word which implies to announce. To announce. To herald a message like a town crier. You know the way the town crier will say a message? You hear the gong and pass across the message. Now you are to herald the gospel. To announce the herald. A message like a town crier. Hallelujah. It's from the man, it's from the now Kerub man. Hallelujah. So you find our word in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Matthew 12, 41. Kerugma. Matthew 12, verse 41. He said, the men of Nineveh will rise up in this generation with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus speaking about himself. Hallelujah. In Luke 11, the same word is used. Let's look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Kerugma. Romans 16:25. Are you there? He calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now to him who is able to establish according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Preaching of Jesus Christ, calls it the preaching of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. It says, let's start from verse 20. So where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where are the disputers of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know him. Did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The fullness of the message preached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching. What is his preaching? Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. For my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the same word is used. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 17. It says, but the Lord, 2 Timothy 4,
Verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, for that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, was preached fully through me. The message, what is the message? The message is the message of Christ, is the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 1, verse 3. Titus 1, 3. It says, but in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, you know, this tells us that the primary way the gospel gets to the unsaved, the primary way the gospel reaches the unsaved, is via preaching or announcing with the mouth. Very primary. The primary way the gospel gets to the unsaved is via preaching. Is via announcing with the mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you see, if you read through, if you read all through scriptures, we'll discover that all through scriptures, the gospel is ministered in two ways. It's ministered in by words of mouth. That is how it, by preaching and by writing. So the gospel is preached by words and by writing. It's communicated. The gospel is communicated. You understand me? By words and by what? By mouth. Very important. So the gospel cannot be communicated via any other means apart from these two I just said. It's very important to note that the gospel cannot be communicated with art, with theater. You cannot communicate the gospel with theater, with art, choreography, agape theater. It cannot be communicated with acting. Do you understand? By art. Not these days, or art and science. Hallelujah. Very communicated by art. Hallelujah. See, let us act how Jesus was killed. The passion of the Christ. It's the gospel. The passion of the Christ. Hallelujah. You know, if you look at the word art, art, A-R-T, art pre-existed Christ. Art. Look at history. Art pre-existed Christ. So meaning, in the days of Christ, there was acting. Understand? There was acting. He was acting, but he never choreography and all those things were in existence. Do you understand? But never did Jesus ask his disciple to dramatize the gospel. No. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Huh? Glory to God. Let me now say something with you. To dramatize the gospel, and you believe it. You cannot, in fact, the gospel cannot be dramatized to those who believe, should not be dramatized to those who believe, or to save a life. It's just like giving somebody the law. Genesis, symbols. Genesis, just like signs, just like symbols. Just like communicating like Moses. You can't have that. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? You can't have it. The gospel cannot be ministered that way. He came, Jesus died, and he said, flunk it. You know what Pastor Emil, remember? Hallelujah. You remember? He can't, because he cannot be communicated that way. So, oh, how the flunk, Jesus. Oh, no. Watch your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The gospel is communicated by words. It's communicated by preaching. Hallelujah. It's not that. It's not going to. The gospel is not supposed to be dramatized. Do you understand? It's not supposed to be dramatized. You don't dramatize the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? You don't dramatize the gospel. Hallelujah. So it's very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 17. Sorry. First Corinthians 1, verse 17. He said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where are the disputers of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through wisdom, did not know God. He pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom." Hallelujah. "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greek foolishness, but to those who are called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness is of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul calls the preaching the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. He calls preaching the wisdom of God. He calls it the preaching of the gospel. He calls it the power of God. The power of God demonstrated is the preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. The preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who have been saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So communication might have changed. The mode of communication might change. But take note. The gospel, the way the gospel is communicated, can never change. It's only communicated by preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's communicated by preaching. We don't believe with God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, by preaching. Romans 10, 14. He said, How shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can they hear without a preacher? Can they hear? So preaching is important. The gospel gets to the unsaved by preaching. It doesn't get to the unsaved by acting. It doesn't get to the unsaved by acting the cross. No, it gets to the unsaved by preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That word gospel. Let's look at the word gospel. The word gospel is used in
the New Testament Greek with two words. Two words are used to signify the word gospel. Euangelion and Euangelizo. Euwge. L-O-N, and what evangelism? Evangelion is a noun. Is the noun. I really like it. English business. Let me give you a word. This is the noun happening. And that's what hallelujah. And evangelism is the verb. So, the word evangelion and evangelism is a word that implies a good message, which is the gospel. It implies a good message or a good news. A good message, a good news. It implies to announce a good tidings. A good tidings, a good news.
Acts 15, verse 7. Acts of Apostles, chapter 15, verse 7. He says, and they wrote, and when they had been much disputed, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you all know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Take note of that word, the word of the gospel and believe. Take note of that word, believe. We'll look at it tomorrow. Hallelujah. Believe. Now he said, by my mouth. Hallelujah. The word of the gospel. He calls it the word of the gospel. The good news. Hallelujah. Of the gospel of Christ. In chapter 20 of Acts, Paul calls it. Chapter 20 of Acts, verse 24. It says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It calls the gospel the grace of God. God's graciousness is seen in the gospel. Hallelujah. It calls the gospel God's grace. Hallelujah. The grace of God is seen in the gospel, precious one. Hallelujah. He calls it the gospel. In Romans 1, verse 1 to 2, we've looked at it earlier, he calls it the gospel of God. The gospel of God. In that Romans chapter 1, verse 9, he says, what then? Verse 9, it says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, in the good news of his Son. Now without sin, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He calls it in verse 9, the gospel of his Son. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus in verse 3. Hallelujah. In verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He calls it the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. He says, for the gospel of Christ is the power of God to save. We'll look at that shortly. He says, is the power of God to save. He says, not ashamed. He calls it the gospel of Christ. The good news of Christ. Hallelujah. The good news of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 16. He said, and in the day when God will judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, he calls it the gospel. He calls it the gospel of Paul, means the gospel of Christ that he preached. Hallelujah. You understand? I serve God. I thank God who I serve with my spirit and in the gospel of his Son. You understand that? So when he calls it my gospel, it talks about the gospel that he preached, which is the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I've had somebody say there are different versions of the gospel. There's the gospel of God. You just talk nonsense. Lazy with that. There's the gospel according to God. There's the gospel according to Christ. There's the gospel according to Paul. Keep fighting. It is lazy Christianity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's just like somebody writing yesterday and saying, world changers are not record setters. That world changers are record breakers. When I said, I just said, not in Christ. And I said, what do I mean? And I explained. And I said, no. I didn't call him up. And I said, no. The believers, listen, yeah, say the believers have supernatural ability for business. I said, ah! So And I said, bro, calm down. Calm down very well.
This guy has supernatural ability for business.
And I said, then. He said, yes, we must believe in the gospel, that the gospel of God, it just happens.
Supernatural. I said, okay, will you enter a plane? You didn't enter the plane. You know, when the pilot is to take off, the pilots will announce from the cockpit. I said, from the cockpit, I said, oh, today this is Boeing 14267. Same as I have a plane captain. Boeing 14267. I'm your pilot. And my name is Smart. I was never in piloting school. I've never visited piloting school. But never to worry. I'm born again. I have the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I go for prayer retreat. Don't worry. We'll arrive safely. How many of you will still remain inside the plane? I said, will you still remain with me? He said, no. I said, can you see? What is supernatural ability of business? Hallelujah. You look at that. What is supernatural ability for business? Actually, you're not understanding my point. I said, the child of God has ability to do. And I said, calm down again. Calm down. This thing is not hard, though. It's not hard. Okay, let's now look at it from another angle. The richest man in your country is Dangote. The richest man in your country is who? Is Dangote. Bill Gates. These guys are believers. In fact, Bill Gates, when he was interviewed some years back, he said he's a moralist. He doesn't hold any religion in mind. The second richest man, forgotten his name, just forgive his name today. He said he believes in atheism. Listen, they are not believers. And they are rich. Wealthy. Where are the believers? We are just a supernatural ability for business. And I said, bro, stick to the things of God. You understand? See the things of God. No. Pastor.
You just stick to the things of God. God told you to go and preach the gospel. That's the message. If you want to be prosperous in business, just kindly go to Lagos Business School. Do you understand? And go and learn business. Do you understand? Just quietly go and learn it on Lagos Business School. Let them teach you. In fact, it is the UK that will teach you if you go to that. Yes, now. And he will teach you. He will not teach you a teacher, he will teach you. That is school. School. This is church. You will learn about Christ. Christ. How many times have you seen Jesus Christ? Tell the disciples, you are empowered for business. That is the reason why some people think being born again is a secret to becoming wealthy, and they get frustrated. Do you understand? Depression sets in. They go and hang themselves. Stick to the message. That's what we have in Christ, the gospel. Do you understand? That's what we have. Hallelujah. I listened to a woman of God say, you must, as a believer, it's very important that you separate your desires from your faith. Do you understand? So all those your ambition you want to achieve, separate it on time. On time, hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't need to go to school. The things are okay. Stay there. Stay there. You wear one clothes for 30 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's come back. It's the gospel of Paul, calls it chapter 2, verse 16. He calls it the gospel of Paul, which is the gospel of Christ he preached. Chapter 10, verse 16. Romans 10, 16. We just read that now. Hallelujah. Let's look at it again. Romans 10, 16. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who had believed our report. When Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report, is the message of Christ. Glory to God. It's the message of Christ. Hallelujah. In chapter 11, before we got there, chapter 11, verse 28, it calls it the gospel of Christ. 11:28. It says, concerning the gospel, their enemies, their enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. In chapter 15, verse 16 and 15, verse 29, it calls it the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Calls it the gospel of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, quickly. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, in him you also trusted after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He calls it the gospel of your salvation. The gospel that brings salvation. Hallelujah. The gospel brings salvation. Chapter 3, verse 6. Take note of this, because we'll look at them. Chapter 3, verse 6. He calls it that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. Hallelujah. So we receive the promise. Then we receive the promise when we believe the gospel. We receive the promise when we believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In which in chapter 1, it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, verse 15, it calls it the gospel of peace. So the gospel is the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the gospel of Christ. It is the good news of what Christ did in the redemption. It's the good news of what Christ did. Hallelujah. What Christ has done. Glory to God. It's the good news. Look at chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, chapter 1, verse 16. Which is Romans 1:16, sorry. Romans 1:16. If you're there, read. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and for the Greek. See, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. So God's ability to save a man, to save a man from sin, is vested in the preaching of the gospel. God's ability to save a man from sin is vested in the preaching of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1, he says he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's power to save a man is seen in the preaching of the gospel. God will call it in Romans. I mean, 1 Corinthians 1, he says it's the power of God. The power of God. Hallelujah. 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 So we can say the authority of Christ is demonstrated in preaching. You know, Matthew 28:18. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. It says, go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples. Matthew 2, go therefore and make disciples. In making disciples, we preach the gospel. They believe the gospel and they are saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In making disciples, men are saved.
men are delivered from darkness in the light of the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Look at Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. Ephesians 2 verse 1. He says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, that is sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we were by children. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, hallelujah, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you may say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, Paul calls it an act of apostles. He said he calls it the message, the gospel of God's grace, of the grace of Christ. Hallelujah. Meaning the graciousness of God is seen in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By grace we are saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even the worst of sinners.
You know, that was worst of sinners is in a human context. And even the worst of sinners is saved. Is saved by the preaching of the gospel, preaching of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's saved. Look at Paul in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Look at Paul in the scriptures.
He was seen to persecute the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But yet, he was saved. Hallelujah. But yet, he was saved.
Glory to God.
To start preaching. Even the worst of sinners can be saved. Hallelujah.
There
are people
the worst can be
saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 2, verse 17. Acts 2, 17, quickly. What happens when a man receives the gospel?
What happens when a man receives the gospel?
Before we look at Acts 2. Okay, let's look at Acts 2. Let's look at Acts 2. Let's explain it from there. Acts 2. Verses 17. You know, we're still going to look at that. Verse 17, Peter began to explain, began to teach the gospel, right? Peter taught, and in verse 40. In verse 44, those who believed were gathered together. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, they called those who received the gospel, they were called believers. Did you get that? They were called believers. They were called believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 9. Chapter 9. Before we get to chapter 9, look at chapter 1, verse 16. Sorry. Chapter 1, verse 16. Before we look at verse 16, look at verse 14. And they all continued with one accord. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Verse 16. Now Peter stood up in verse 15. Stood up, and now he wants to address them. In verse 16, he now says, men, that is, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled when the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, they called themselves brethren. You see that? Brethren. Hallelujah. Brethren. Which is brothers. They were called brothers. In Acts 9, that has also opened verse 17, Paul, Ananias, upon hearing that Paul had received the message, when he got to Paul in verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, glory to God. What has happened? Upon receiving the gospel, our identity changes. Upon receiving the gospel, our identity changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Upon receiving the gospel, Jesus will say in John chapter 14, he said, verse 20, he said, That day will be the day of his resurrection. The day, we're going to look at that, the day of his resurrection, the day a man receives the gospel. Hallelujah. He said, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Did you see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will say, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Do you understand? So our identity changes. In Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13. He said, we are delivered out of darkness. Now we are translated to the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. In Hebrews, chapter 12, he said, we are come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Our identity changes. We are not known as men in Christ. And we who are in Christ are called brethren. Hallelujah. We are called brothers. That word brothers, or the word brethren, or brother, is in the Greek, adelphos. Adelphos. Which implies those who are from the same source. It implies one who is from the same source. We are from the same source or the same womb. Those who are from the same womb or have the same parentage. Do you see that? Those who have the same parentage. That word that therefore is used for those people who are from the same parents, not necessarily believers now, for those people who are from the same parents. Look at Matthew 1, verse 2. Quickly, Matthew 1, verse 2 says, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brothers, his adelphos. Did you see that? And his brothers. Chapter 4, verse 18. And the Jews, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Adelphos, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting. Did you see that? Brothers. Verse 21. And going from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his Adelphos, his brother. Did you see? In Matthew 10, verse 21. Also. Matthew 10:21. Now, brother will deliver our brother to death and father's children. Now, he's talking about people from the same parentage. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 3, verse 19. Acts 1:14 talks about, we just read that now. Hallelujah. Acts 1:14, talking about people from the same parentage. He said, did you get that? Hallelujah. Acts 7:13. So, it's used for people from the same parentage. That is to say, that word is not a believer's word. It was not coined by Christ.
Do you understand me? Aha. Do you understand that? So it's used for people from the same parentage. It's used for people from the same country, especially the Israelites or the Israelites. Hallelujah. It's used for people from the same country. Acts 2:29. Men and brethren.
That is Peter speaking. Acts 2:29. Peter speaking, men and brethren, let me speak freely. Peter speaking, verse 37. When they heard this, they were caught in the heart, hallelujah, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren. Did you see? So Peter called them men and brethren because they're from the same country. They too, do you understand me? In that simple and I say men and brethren. So you see that it is what they call those from the same country. You find it also in chapter 3:17. Hallelujah. Peter too made the same statement. He said, now brethren, I know you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Do you understand me? In preaching, Peter called them brethren too, because they are from the same country. So that we don't just read and say, Peter called those don't believers from this. Keep quiet. Do you understand? That's why you need to read an agenoscope. You need to read well. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. It was just in verse 22 of Acts 3 and chapter 7, verse 2, for those from the same country. And it is also used for believers to show our common source in Christ. It is for believers to show our common source in Christ. We just read Acts 1:16. Hallelujah. Brethren. Peter's speaking. Acts 6:3. They wanted to choose those who will serve as deacons. And he said, brethren, choose some amongst yourselves, referring to believers. Hallelujah. Acts 9:17, referring to Ananias when he met Paul. Hallelujah. Verse 30. Hallelujah. Verse 30, chapter 10, verse 23. Sorry, that should not be 10:23. Oh, I'll come over that to you. Second. Okay, we'll look at that shortly. I'll get back to that. It's used in chapter 11, verse 1. Apostles and brethren. In Romans 1:13. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren. Now, when he calls brethren, he's referring to those he was writing to, and verse 7 told us he's talking to believers, right? Believers. You'll find the same word in chapter 10, verse 1. Now, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel. Do you understand? So, called those he wrote to brethren, to show our common source in Christ. Chapter 11, verse 25, the same thing, and chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Hallelujah. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, writing to believers, to show our common source. Hebrews 2, verse 11. Hebrews 2, verse 11. Verse 11. It says, for both he who sanctifies those, both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Meaning our, did you get that? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So we are one in him. Hallelujah. And with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To show our common identification with Christ and in Christ. Glory to God. And he calls us sanctified, set apart. Hallelujah. Calls us sanctified. Those who are sent apart. Set apart. He called in Romans chapter 1, he called in Romans chapter 1 and most of the opening of his most of Paul's opening speech, he calls the brethren saints, which is those who are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He calls us saints. He calls us in, he calls us God's righteousness. Hallelujah. We are righteous. He calls us righteous. He calls us justified. Romans chapter 5. He calls us justified. So when a man believes the gospel, he's justified. When a man believes the gospel, he's called righteous. He's called sanctified. Hallelujah. His identity changes. Hallelujah. He has one root with every brethren. We have common source, which is Christ Jesus. We are one with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we look at Mark 16, verse 15, when he says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. When he says, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature, it means that the man or the believer is a man who has the ability in God to save men. Do you understand? The believer has the ability of God to save men. And that ability of God is demonstrated in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. The believer has the ability of God to save men. You know, preaching the gospel is God's. We'll get to that later on today. Hallelujah. 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 So preaching the gospel is God's number one business in the earth. So the believer has the ability of God to save men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what is that ability? The preaching of the gospel. So therefore, a man who goes ahead to preach the gospel, much more the reason why we teach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach about the gospel. Hallelujah. A man who goes ahead to teach, to preach the gospel, must know what the gospel entails. The fact of the gospel. So now I said, what are the facts of the gospel? You know something? What are the facts? What does the gospel entail? Hallelujah. We're going to look at this. Are you ready? Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Acts 2. I'm having a long reading to do. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. From verse 20. This is Peter preaching. From verse 20, are you with me? Can we start from verse 16? Peter explained himself, verse 16. And this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. and your young men shall see visions, and on your old men and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my maid servant, and on my man servant and maid servant, and pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hand, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David concerning him said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, and that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the way of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. Hallelujah. Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he was both dead and buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Take note of this. He foreseen this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Hallelujah. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witness. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Hallelujah. 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 Which you now see and hear. Verse 34. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 3. I want to look at some things. Take note of some what we are reading. Chapter 3, verse 11. Now the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? But God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Take note of that word. Take note of that word. Take note of verse 13, we're coming there. And also verse 26 to verse 30 of chapter 2. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Of which we are witnesses. And his name, true faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, that so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, whom was preached to you before, whom heaven was received, until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the of his holy prophets since the world began, most assuredly. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren, him you shall hear in all things whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from amongst the people. Are you reading with me? Okay, from amongst the people. Verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel to those who follow, as many as have spoken.